I was overwhelmed by the conversation that I had with the Lord in prayer, because after all, who am I to get this information about the total picture of the church? Church is vast, it's huge, it's massive. Two-thirds of our country, two-thirds, identify with the Christian faith. Two-thirds. Can't tell, can you? And I said, God, what do you want me to do? He says, I want you to start a conversation about church. I said, we talk enough about church. He says, that's why I want you to start the conversation. Because I don't want people to come to church. I want people to be the church. And so I said, all right, Lord, I don't know what to do. And often when God asks you to do something, you really don't know how to do it. And one of my I have a group of men that speaks into my life, and one of these men called me and said, hey man, I was praying and the Lord dropped you on my heart, and what do you want to do next? And he told me to help you. I said, I want to help people have a conversation about church. He says, I know just the guy. So he calls this guy, his name's Alan White. He called him, he's in South Carolina. He calls Alan and he says, Alan, I want you to meet somebody. And Alan is a producer, and Alan was on his knees at the time praying about what he was supposed to do next. And he was about to leave the work that I needed to be done, but God told him, don't move, because I have an assignment for you. And at that moment, God told him that the phone rings, and it's the man that spoke to me telling him that he needs to meet me. And so we all got on the phone, we began to talk, and their company is from out of California, and what they do is they basically take your idea and they put it into a small group format where you can have a conversation about your topic or your idea. And so we began to work, and we worked over the summer. My wife and I and our team spent countless hours putting together this project. And we actually did two. We got two out of one, which is a great, 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 great deal, because it was very expensive. And what we got out of that was this idea called Back to Church. And it was an idea and a concept birthed from prayer and from God speaking to my heart and saying, I want you to help people to have this conversation. So what we built was a six-session format where anybody, doesn't matter who you are, can sit down with two or three friends and have a conversation about what it means to go back to church. The reason why we say back to church is because we're not saying we want folk to start coming back to the house of God. That's not what we're saying. Look around, this church is full. What I'm saying to you is that we want people to go back to being the church. Not just doing church. There has to be something more than us gathering. And why do we gather? I can find something else to do on Sunday morning. Y'all ain't said nothing than to sit in here. Y'all ain't, come on somebody. All right? I mean, you could go shopping. You could go, y'all ain't said nothing. I could be tailgating right now. Why y'all trying to play me so holy? Y'all ain't said nothing. I could be still asleep. Nice fall morning, curled up. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. Come on, man. And so why do we do, what is the reason for this? Why do we ecclesia? And this is why, because God ordained and commissioned the church as the only entity whereby he can visit you, come to you. Well, I can do that out there. Not like this corporate anointing you can. Because it is in this setting, it is in this arena that confuses the enemy. And that's why God kept the church as a secret throughout the ages. And it's not talked about until the New Testament, until you get to Matthew's gospel, the 16th chapter, where Jesus begins to declare at a place where all the world religions comes. And he stands there and says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon the rock of who I am, the Christ, the foundation. So everything is centered on Christ. And so we put this thing together. We're going to launch it in January. And this church, I'm asking everybody that possibly can in this church to participate. How do I participate? Well, all you have to do is really, when the book comes out, the study, it's a study guide. It's small. It's 6 sessions. I put 6 teachings behind it through video that you can watch either on DVD or Vimeo or YouTube or on your cell phone, wherever you want to see it, wherever you want to have the conversation. And then you pledge to have that talk with 2 or 3 friends that you know. That's all. That's all you have to do. And so we put a little promo together for you. I want to show it to you, and then I'll tell you what you need to do next. Watch this. You are God's best kept secret. When you gather together with other believers, you become the ecclesia, the called out ones. And when you begin to talk about the principles and the concepts of the kingdom of God together, it throws the enemy for a loop. It encourages you in a way that you couldn't do on your own. It builds up your faith, particularly when you begin to hear the other testimonies of other believers. You begin to create a distinctive culture. And in that culture, there are unsearchable riches, riches that you don't know the depths of. God is waiting for you, longing for you, waiting to touch your heart, and we know you're going to be changed. It's time to get back to church. So, we have worked with our life group team, and our life group team have signed on to help you understand how to run a group. So, what would happen? Just think about this. What would happen? We have, literally, we actually have almost 3,000 members in this church. Now, it would be wonderful if we all came to church together, but it's okay. It's all good. But, you know, for instance, right now, there's about 700 people in this room. What would happen if each one of you just had a conversation with 3 people? Just 3 people. 3 times 7 is 21. So 3 times 700 is, okay, yeah, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. The average church in the United States of America has 75 members. The average church. So you're in an anomaly. This is an anomaly. But the average church today that is worshiping, there's a total of 75 people in it. The average church across the country. Across the country. And so what would happen if just one church sparked a conversation with folk that you know that identify with your faith, or maybe not, and you were able to encourage them to understand what it means to be a part of the body of Christ? And just imagine for a second if you got one each. That's 700 people. That's bigger than the average church. You don't want to say nothing. And the United States of America. And I'm not talking about them 700 coming here. I don't care where they go or what church they become a part of. I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do to have the conversation. So what you can do is you can sign up for a training if you want it after service. If you don't want it, I would encourage you to get it because it will help you facilitate your little meeting. And then in January, you should see the book. It looks wonderful. It's awesome. All the videos are great. There are testimonials in it. We use our own church to do it. And any church, any person, anybody can take this and use it for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. All I'm asking you to do is to consider being a part of this next wave of glory that's about to sweep across the church. Will you do that for me? Amen. Amen. All right. That's all I want you to do. That's all I want you to do. All right. If you won't mind, stand with me for the word of God. Acts, the 12th chapter. Acts, the 12th chapter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts, the 12th chapter. I for the sake of time and but also context, I want to make sure you get the full picture of this narrative. And so I'll begin reading in the first verse, and then I'll skip a few to get us to where we need to be, but I promise to put it all in context for you in the end. The word of God declares, Acts the 12th chapter, verse 1, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, the Bible says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. The Bible says these were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The Bible lets us know that Herod sent him, brought him forth in the same night that Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. But in verse 7, something happened, something dramatic, something that was a terrifying fact for the enemy, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And verse 7, the Bible says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on both sides, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. In verse 8, the Bible says, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself, put your sandals on. And so he did. And he said unto him, put your garment on and follow me. Verse 9, he went out and followed him. And he could not believe what was being done because of the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. Verse 10 says, when they passed the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate. This is where I want to go. They came unto the iron gate, and that led unto the city. The Bible says it opened to them of its own accord, and they went out, passed on through one street, and the angel departed from him. The Bible lets us know that Peter now comes to himself, and he knew it was a surety that the Lord sent his angel and delivered him from the hand of Herod, watch this now, and from all of the expectations of the people. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, we ask that you speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, and that it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Father, I pray that you touch every heart this morning so it's open to receive the word, that you anoint every ear so that it is able to hear it. Father, my most important prayer request today is that no one, including myself, leaves this place the way we came, but that we are all changed by your power. So I stand in my spiritual authority, and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, God, have your way in this place. Heal, touch, deliver, and set free. And we will give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. And say, get ready for an accelerated breakout. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to begin to assure you and cause you to begin to understand that we have a God that is so unique, so awesome, so unexplainably dynamic, that sometimes you don't have the adjective to describe who he is. Moreover, even his own admittance is that he can't even be called by one name, because at any moment he can become anything at any time. It was Moses who said, who shall I say send me? And it was God that responded and says, I am that I am, meaning I can become whatever you need me to become. If it's healing, I can become your healing. If it's freedom, I can become your freedom. If it's deliverance, I can become your deliverance. If you need victory, I can be your banner. Whatever it is you need me to be, I have the ability to be it. But more importantly, not only do I have the ability to be it, the Apostle Paul comes along and says something very profound in Romans the 8th chapter. He goes to say that if God be for us, my God, who can be against us? And so you have to begin to ask yourself the question, is there anything I've ever dealt with and anything I've ever gone through that God has not showed up for me in those instances? You have to begin to realize that God is absolutely for you and never against you. Just go ahead and nudge your neighbor and say, God is for me. Yes, he is. I want you to begin to understand, if I can, you know, I will argue my facts scientifically because I like science, because it validates faith. But if I had to compare what the Spirit of the Lord does to something in our generation or something in our day, I would have to look at Google, because, you know, everybody tries to look up God on Google, but you can't find nothing about him, because you have to have an experience for yourself. Because the person with an experience will always beat the person with an argument. You can't take what God has done for me from me. And you can't argue me down, no matter how much data you have, because I know God has been good to me. Do I have anybody in this church that knows what I'm talking about? Just go and touch your neighbor and going to say, oh, he's been good to me. He's been good. As a matter of fact, if I tried to testify, I might lose it right now. I can't get no help in here. I feel my grandmother's anointing when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I begin to thank God for saving me and saving me and saving me and keeping me and keeping me and healing me and healing me and delivering me and delivering me and setting me free and setting me free again. Is there anybody in here that got a second chance from the Lord? Is there anybody in here that God has done something so awesome in their life? You got to take a few seconds to say, thank you, Father, for what you've done. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. Take 30 seconds and bless the name of the Father for the goodness he has done in your life. Hallelujah. Y'all don't play with me this morning. When I begin to think about the activity of God and how he uses the Holy Spirit and how he uses him on our behalf, when I begin to think in the beginning of creation that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters, and it was a chaotic scene, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and it was the Spirit of the God hovering over the whole atmosphere, just sitting back waiting for the command of the Word of God, waiting for the Word of God to be spoken so that he can move in action and accelerate the chaos and make it become cosmos. You see, it doesn't matter how much chaos is in your life, the moment the Word of God comes to it, everything gets put back. I wish I had some help. in order. This is why the Bible says that thy life and death is in the power of your tongue, because when you begin to decree and declare the word of God, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when you begin to decree and declare the word of the Lord, my God, things in your life that are chaotic begin to come back in order once again. And when my mind begins to reflect on that chaotic scene in the book of Genesis and how smooth the Spirit of the Lord was, simply sitting back, hovering over the water, not anxious for anything, just waiting for the word to be spoken, for him to go and act and accelerate cosmos out of chaos. It made me want to think about how awesome the God that we serve is, because one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to search. The Bible lets us know, my God, in Romans the 8th chapter, that it is the Spirit that searches the deep things of God. And so if I had to reflect and look at the Holy Spirit in today's terms, I would have to look at Google, because Google is a search engine. The total number of servers Google's employee is a well-kept secret, but let's just say that it is an estimate of somewhere around 2.3 million servers, if you will, that search in an algorithm called a page rank, meaning Google crawls 20 billion websites every day and performs over 100 billion searches per month. You understand that? That's so fast, because when I grew up, there wasn't no Google. Y'all ain't said nothing. And if you wanted to learn something, you had to go to the library. I wish I had somebody. And do the card catalog system. Y'all young folk don't even know what we're talking about, right? I can't get help here from anybody. You couldn't click a button and you couldn't find out the information at an accelerated pace. My God, first you had to get your library card. Y'all ain't said, I feel like preaching in here. Then go to the library and then had to ride your bike there. Y'all ain't saying nothing because your parents weren't dropping you off. I wish I had some help from somebody. But anyway, that was the system we grew up in. It was not accelerated. It took time. You had to look up your subject matter, my God, and then you had to search it by subject, author, or title. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here, but you can click in a word on Google and everything pertaining to that word, I wish I had some help in here, will come up just like that. That's the power of the internet's capacity to put knowledge at your fingertips, just one click away. Yes, it is remarkable, but can I tell you, it doesn't hold a candle to the power of the Spirit of God to search. The Holy Spirit is a way better search engine than Google will ever be, because it is the Spirit that is bearing witness. Y'all ain't saying nothing with my spirit that I am a child of God. All the Spirit is searching for is who belongs to the Lord, because if they belong to the Lord, I got to move and I got to act. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. It is the Spirit that begins to intercede on my behalf. Have that when I don't know what to pray, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit begins to make intercession for me. That means I have to know what I'm looking for on Google, but I can be confused in the Lord, and God begins to figure out what it is I need. Am I talking to any? The Bible says God knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows every subconscious memory and every subliminal desire you have ever had. Our God is omniscient, but he is so full of grace and mercy that he chooses to select what he knows about you, because he remembers everything you've done but forgets everything you have ever done wrong. I know I brought that back up again, but you gotta thank God for forgetting the stuff you messed up and choosing to give you his grace and his mercy. Am I talking to anybody? Yeah, he knows the number of hairs that are on your head. My God, he knows everything that there is about you. The Holy Spirit is searching for one primary reason. He's searching to reveal what we need to know and what My God, and when we need to know it, he's searching first and foremost that we are children of God. And then he begins to search what we need to know about God and about ourselves. And then he makes sure that we need to know it at the time we need to know it. And so you have to understand that we have a God that has the capability, my God, of not just waiting for you, my God, to look up something, but he is searching right now for individuals and searching for prayer requests and searching for answers to problems and searching for visions that haven't even come to pass yet and searching for generations to come. Y'all not in here with me? That means before you even get down the road, the Spirit of the living God has already searched out the solution for the thing that's going to try to come up against you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's an accelerated breakout. It's an accelerated breakout. Now let me go back. Let me go back. Let me go back. I want you to understand this, and I want you to get it deep down in your spirit. You have to understand that some things, God, requires an intervention by the Holy Spirit. He has a solution to every problem. He has an answer to every question. He has a breakthrough and a breakout for every bondage. You have to understand, my God, that when the children of God begin to pray, if you will, it is a difference that we have from the rest of the world. This difference is, if you will, is marked by our distinctiveness and our ability not only to communicate with God, but to be at peace while we're doing it. In other words, I could be in the middle of some of the most trying circumstances, but because I know that the Spirit is searching the deep things of God, and it is the Spirit that is hovering over my life, ready to create cosmos out of chaos, that I don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, then I'm going to add a little bit of thanksgiving because I have presented my requests to God. And now the peace of God that transcends all understanding is guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, because I don't want to make the mistake of beginning to speak more chaos into my chaotic situation. And so while I'm in the middle of whatever I'm in the middle of, I have to be looking for the emergence of doors opening, of ways being made straight, of God looking at my desert situation and saying, I'll make a river in the desert. I have to understand that not only is God working on my solution at this moment, but he's already gone ahead of me to make future crooked places straight. Look at your name and say, God is for me. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. In the text, let's get to it. In the text, here we go. We find out that Peter is in a predicament. And the predicament that he is in is nothing new. I want to highlight that for just a moment. It's nothing new. He's been here before. Look at your name and say, you've been here before. No, they ain't believe you the first time, so look at them again and say, I've been here before. You still don't believe yourself. Y'all ain't said nothing. Peter is in jail. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but it's amazing to me how far Peter has come. From a guy who told the Lord, no, you don't want to hang with me, dude. I ain't right. And God says, no, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he did. To a guy denying the Lord. To a guy rebuking the Lord. To a guy getting a revelation that he was the Christ. To a guy that decided to go back to doing what he was doing when Jesus was crucified. And to a guy running into the open and loving arms of Jesus Christ in John 21 and being raised up as the head of the church. And to a guy now promoting the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel. To a guy who's now walking through the streets and his very shadow is getting people healed. Look at your neighbor and say, God brings people a mighty long way. Uh-huh. I'm trying to get you to understand some stuff here. Uh-huh. And now Peter is, of course, raised up leading the church. And in his first ever public speaking address after the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, he gets up to declare the gospel. And 3,000 people, 4,000 people get added to the church in one message. And then right after that, he gets locked up. And they begin to throw him in prison. And when they throw him in prison, you have to understand, they take him out of the prison, says, you cannot preach in Jesus' name. And Peter gets up and says, looky here, I'm going to declare the word of the Lord. And so they take him up again, and they throw him in the prison another time. And they throw him in the prison, and this time they beat him up to make sure that he doesn't preach in Jesus' name. But the second time they throw him in the prison, the angel of the Lord comes and gets him out of the prison. But he doesn't take him out of the prison to take him back home. He took him out of the prison and put him in the temple to teach the people. And so he was supposed to be behind a locked gated door, but he's standing in the church preaching the gospel. You see, when God is about to accelerate your life, no weapon formed against you has the ability to prosper. And the plan and the assault and the attack that keep you from stepping into your purpose and stepping into your destiny doesn't really matter, because he was supposed to be locked up, but the angel of the Lord came and got him out. But Peter was at such peace that he didn't run out of the situation. He went to church right after y'all. He said nothing and began to preach in the temple. And the magistrates came and said, go get that guy Peter out of jail. And when they went to go get him out of jail, they went back and says, he's not in the jail cell. They said, well, where is he? He's in the temple preaching to the people. Y'all ain't said nothing. And they came to Peter and says, didn't we tell you that you cannot preach in the name of Jesus Christ? And Peter looked at him and says, look here, I ain't got time to be worrying about what you think about what I'm preaching. As for me, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. What I'm trying to say to you is that you have to forget about the problems that you're in at this very moment and go step into your purpose no matter what the problem is that you face. Slap your neighbor and say, I ain't worried about no problem right here. My God, I feel a preach coming on in here. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, and the devil don't want no problems with me. For the Bible says, if the thief be found, he's got to restore unto me sevenfold and the increase of his house. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to get some stuff back. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I wish I had a church in here. Stuff I lost, purpose and dreams and vigor and aspirations and stamina and enthusiasm and joy and peace. And I'm about to get some. I wish I had half a church this morning. Say, I'm about to get some stuff back. Yes, I am. Y'all sit down. You make me nervous. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. So now, Peter, I'm gonna fast forward to my message. Now, Peter is thrown in prison again by Herod this time. Uh-huh. Let me give you some understanding. Herod, if you will, is really a title. Uh-huh. This was Herod Agrippa the First. If you will, he was the grandson of Herod the Great. The Herods are a title, like Pharaoh is a title. Uh-huh. And this Herod, if you will, the nephew of Herod Antipas, who put John to death. The Herods like killing folk. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Uh-huh. And Herod, if you will, had this aspiration to appease the people by coming against these individuals, disciples, whose purpose was to launch the church and the kingdom of God. And there was nothing that anybody could do to stop it. No matter who they killed, no matter who they tried, the kingdom was going to advance no matter what. Go on, touch your neighbor one more time and says, don't worry about the problems.
Mm-hmm. Because right now, in the middle of your problem, the Holy Spirit is searching the solution that you need for the y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Yeah. One of the major assaults that the enemy will throw at people of purpose is persecution. And what he will do is he will get people who are supposed to be on your team. Y'all ain't said nothing. The very individuals that you are advocating for, to use them to misunderstand you and persecute your purpose. Now, today in the 21st century, the church doesn't know about persecution the way that these men and women had to know about persecution because their life was on the line. But in the same way, the subtlety of that spirit of persecution still exists. And it exists in a format in the information age. We are inundated with so much info that we choose not to trust God because we got too much information. God, I'm preaching better, y'all shout. So in other words, when we're in problems and situations and God is saying to you, don't worry about the problem because there's an emergence taking place, something is about to open and you don't know how and you don't know when, but it's going to happen. What the enemy wants to do is persecute you to the point where you have no peace. And the reason why he wants you to have no peace is so that when the solution shows up, you don't take the solution. Y'all ain't said nothing. Because you are still looking for information. You have to understand, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You're not always going to have all of the details of what God is doing. But boo, when you see that door crack open, you step through the door. Get the details later.
Give me 10 minutes here. We'll get to where we want to go. And so now, watch this. So now, the Bible lets us know that Peter is arrested. I want you to see a few things in the narrative that's going to help you understand when I say, don't worry about the problems. Because I know that sounds easy, but I'm a realist, and I know it is not easy. Because when you're facing difficulties and situations and you have choices to make, of course, you want to make an intelligent decision and you want all the data in front of you. But unfortunately, because we are who we are and we serve the God that we serve, this thing requires faith. Faith is not the absence of evidence. God, I'm preaching right now. As a matter of fact, faith is there now, therefore, the what? I can't get help. The evidence of things not seen. And so faith has evidence. It's just that you can't see it unless you got your faith eyes on. Y'all ain't said nothing. And so when I believe God based on what he is doing, there is evidence. It's just that the evidence has not emerged in the physical realm. So all I have is his word. And if that's all I have, but I know the power of his word, then I should be at peace because it was his word that spoke cosmos into chaos. Y'all ain't said nothing. It was his word that caused a dead man to come back to life again. It was his word that opened blind eyes. It was his word that got a woman healed with the issue of blood for 12 years. It was his word. Y'all ain't said nothing. It was his word that keeps me day by day and night by night. It is the word of the living God. Touch your name and say, it's the word. It's the word. We want to negate the word. Peter is in jail again. Look at your name and say, I've been here before. But this time, he's just not in there. You know, in the regular holding cell, dude is in max penitentiary. Super max. He in one of them 23-7 joints, y'all. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but don't look at your neighbor and say, don't be trying to act funny. You know you're going to see somebody. Y'all ain't said nothing real soon.
Y'all can't get. Watch this. So he's in a supermax facility. And the Bible says that Herod saw that the people were pleased. And so not only is he being held in supermax, but he's being held for the express purpose of being executed in the morning. You want to talk about problems. Problems are when there is no way out. And it's over in the morning. For Peter, it was going to be over in the morning. Somebody is in here today that needs an answer to a problem, because for you, it's about to be over. Y'all ain't said nothing. In the morning. And I came to tell somebody today that it ain't gonna go down the way the enemy thought it was going to go down. I don't know who am I preaching to this morning, but I know I'm preaching to somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, help is on the way. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Watch this now. Peter was kept in the prison, but while Peter was in the prison, the Bible says prayer was going up for him. Oh, God, I feel an anointing. Prayer was going up for him without ceasing. And so the Bible says the people were praying fervently for Peter while he was in prison, meaning everybody knew his problem, meaning his problem was public. Could it be that God wants you in a public problem, God, to give you a public breakout so that when everybody see you come out, they're going to go, how? Am I talking to anybody in here? And not only was it public, but Herod decided that he would then put two soldiers bound with two chains next to Peter. So not only is he in jail, but he's in there handcuffed to two soldiers on each side. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a problem. Y'all ain't hearing me. That's a problem. And so now, not only is he handcuffed with two soldiers at two sides, he has a total of 16 soldiers who are guarding him. Quaternion is four. And so he had four sets, if you will, of 16 soldiers guarding him. The day was divided into four parts. So every 8 hours, a fresh quaternion of soldiers would take over the duty of guarding Peter. Watch this now. Not only was it public, but in the morning, because of the timing, this was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, meaning it was Passover, so it was a high religious season. Y'all ain't said nothing. Where all the people would be out in the square. Y'all ain't said nothing. And everybody would see Peter breaking out. So here's the problem. I'm locked up, and you can use that metaphor for whatever you're locked up in. Debt, doubt, disease, fear, marriage, kids. Have I come down your street yet? No? Oh, you want me to come on? Okay. So he's locked up, but it's not ordinary. He's to be executed in the morning. And that's what everybody expects. So while he's in there, everybody is saying, did you hear what happened to Peter? Did you hear he's going to die tomorrow? Did you hear that it was over? Man, that's messed up. Oh, dang. You know they talking. But watch this. Watch this. Despite the conditions, two soldiers by my side in the Supermax jail with 16 soldiers guarding the door. And then if I get out of there, there's an iron gate. Despite all of that, the Bible says that Peter in there knocked out. How do you sleep with 16 grown behind men watching you and two of them shackled to you? I can only imagine he probably snoring too. He is asleep. Not only is he asleep, he's comfortable. He has taken off his cloak. He has taken off his sandals. Y'all not in here with me. And he is to be executed in the morning. But the Bible says this dude done kicked off his shoes, took off his coat, and turned over. He probably in that good sleep position too. Like when the pillow is perfect and can't get help from nobody in here. How do you sleep in that problem? It had to be because he had some peace that was not of this world. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to have that peace in the middle of a million problems. I'm about to get some good sleep. Y'all ain't said nothing in the middle of stuff I can't solve. Am I talking to anybody in this room? Let me get to where we need to go. Let me get here. And so watch this. He's sleeping. And while he's sleeping, the Bible says in the middle of the night, here comes his solution. Now, while he was sleeping, the Spirit was searching. Why? Because there was a set of people praying and there was a set of people expecting for it to go the wrong way. But there was also a set of people praying for God to do anything he could possibly do. But there was also a set of people, y'all ain't said nothing, that expected it to go the wrong way. And so then God says, all right, Holy Spirit, I want you to search the best solution possible to get Peter out that would, watch me now, builds everybody's faith. The folk praying, really, they're in the scene because they know Peter's gone. So they just praying. Yeah, they said nothing. They wasn't praying for a breakout. Because the Bible never says they were. They were just praying. Because some problems are so bad, you don't even know what to pray for. Yeah, yeah. And then there's a set of people expecting things to go the wrong way. But their faith needs to be built too. And then there's the people that threw you in the jail. Their faith needs to be built too. I said, hey, y'all got real quiet. Okay. Yeah, the same individual that threw you in, it's about to see you break out. Okay, here we go, here we go. He's asleep, and the Bible says the angel of the Lord comes down to him, and he says, look, watch this now. He comes down, and hold on. Ooh, there's 16, okay, I don't think y'all get me. There's 16 soldiers in front of this guy's cell. There's two in there with him. And your Bible says that when the angel shows up, a light shines in the prison. Is that what that said? That said a light shined in the prison? How How does 18 people not see a light? Look at your neighbor and say, it was revelatory. You don't hear what I'm saying. You don't hear. Okay. Peter's at peace. He's sitting there asleep. Watch me now. And the light shined in prison. The light should have woke everybody up. But it was revelatory, meaning it had to be revealed, meaning it was evidence of something that was about to happen, but nobody else could see it but Peter. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Meaning you're going to be surrounded by folk who don't see what you see. All right, y'all, I'm weighing y'all out, so I'm getting done. I'm getting done. The Bible says that the light shined in prison. And it's, watch me now. And the angel comes and touches Peter on the side. No, I'm sorry. And the light comes. And he smote him on the side, touches Peter on the side, and says, Peter, get up. Go quick. Rise up. Get your stuff on. Watch it now. Watch it. Hold on. I thought he was shackled. I'm just going to run by myself. He was shackled to two soldiers. No, 16 on the outside. But when the light shined in the prison, y'all ain't said nothing. And the angel said, get up, let's go. The moment Peter got up, the Bible says his chains fell off. You're in the middle of a problem saying, God, how am I going to get out of this? And God is saying, just get up. And the moment you get up, oh, God, I hear the chains falling right now. Oh, God, I wish I had 10 folk that would slap their neighbor and say, I just heard your chains drop right now. Get up off of your bed of affliction. Get up out of your oppression. Get up. I wish I had my voice this morning. Look at your name and say, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Don't you sit there one more second. Don't you sit there one more minute. Get up. The chains falls off. And when the chains fall off, I feel an anointing. The Bible says, the angel said unto him, come on, get your clothes back on. Get your sandals back on. And he did it, and he followed him. And the Bible says when he went out, he followed him, and he didn't know what was happening because he thought he was seeing a vision. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't worry about what you see, because it's all God after this. It's going to look crazy, but it's all God. It's going to look foolish, but it's all God. It's going to look impossible, but it's all God. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's all God. I might as well keep moving, because if God be for me, I feel an anointing in here. Who can be against me? Yeah. He said, I can't believe what's happening. And so he kept on walking. And the Bible says they got through the first ward without anybody noticing them. And they got through the second ward and nobody noticed them. But here's where I want to preach. When they got to the iron gate, the Bible says that they didn't ponder. They didn't scheme. And they didn't plan. They didn't try to calculate how in the world they were going to get out of the gate, because the chains already had fallen off, and I've already passed through a couple of things that should have held me up, and so whatever is in my way right now, it's got to go. And the Bible says that the gate opened up all by itself. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, get ready for the gates to open up all by themselves. You don't need no network. You don't need no resume. You don't need to know nobody. The gate is about to open up all by itself. Somebody shout now. I wish I had my voice. Come on, give God glory all over this place. And say, get ready for doors to open all by themselves. The gate opened up all by itself. And Peter finds himself standing in the middle of the street, hours before his execution. And he escaped all of the expectation of the people. Look at your neighbor and say, nobody is going to believe this breakout. Come on. Can I have 2 minutes? Can I have 2 minutes? Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't going to believe this breakout. Now, he escaped the expectations of all the people that thought it was going to go the wrong way. But then he exceeded the expectations of the people that were praying for him. Look at your neighbor and say, they ain't going to believe this breakout. For the Bible says that when he got back to where all the people of God were praying, that a young lady named Rhoda opened the door. And when she looked and saw it was Peter, she shut the door right back in his face. Slap your neighbor and say, they ain't gonna believe this one. I thought you were praying for my breakout. She couldn't believe that he got out. And she went back and said, I just saw Peter. And they said, you crazy. Hold on. Watch. Hold on. Get ready to shout. Get ready to shout. I'm about to lose my mind. Watch. Get ready. Okay, I'm going to go back over here. I'm sorry. Get ready. Get ready to shout. The gate was shut. The chains fell off. The wards I walked past. Yeah. And escaped the expectations of what people thought should happen to me. But when I got to the place of where prayer was, I exceeded their expectation. So they shut the door on me too. Rhoda goes back in and says, I saw Peter. They said, you're crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, but nobody went to check the door. So that door had to open up all by itself. Oh. There's a double door about to open up to you. The door of people's expectations of what should happen, and the door of exceeding the expectations of what should happen. Somebody give God a shout for a double door opening to me right now. Yeah. Grab that neighbor by the hand all over the church. I wish I had my preacher's voice. I done preached it out the last few weeks. There is a double door. This is what should have happened. That door opened up, and it didn't happen. This is what I thought might happen. That door shuts. Oh, God! I am preaching. Okay. That door shuts, and they leave me outside because, watch me now, they can't believe that I broke out. So they think they're looking at a ghost. They think somebody done lost their mind. He didn't even knock on any door. Some doors you have to knock. Knock and the door shall be open, right? But then some doors open. I open a door no man can shut. I shut a door no man can open. And in Peter's case, one door shut opens. One door opens shuts. But for Peter, both open. Because it's a double door that escapes the expectations of those that count you out, but exceeds the expectations of those who count you in. It ain't going down either way. It's going down God's way. Come on, squeeze that hand. Father, I thank you for every person in this room, every person facing difficulty, problems, challenges, decisions. There will emerge a double door. The door that exceeds the expectations and the door that escapes expectations. And while the doors are shut, and while we're waiting for the doors to open, the peace of God is upon us. This is not a season of anxiety or pressure, but of peace. Oh God, I hear you. Not anxiety or pressure, but peace. That peace that does transcend understanding. Peace to trust God in the middle of adverse circumstances. Peace to know that the doors will open as soon as I get up. Chains will fall off. And no matter what my confinement is, if God is for me, who can be against me? Father, I thank you right now for accelerating purpose right now, accelerating your peace right now, accelerating your power in their life right now. And I thank you for the doors that need to open, that by your Spirit they open right now in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout unto God. Give him praise in the house. Give him glory. Give him honor. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. Come on, take 30 seconds and bless the name of the Most High God. We love you, Father. Come on, church. Take 30 seconds and thank him for the doors that are opening. Thank him for the chains that are falling off. Thank him for the breakout that's taking place in your life. We honor you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lift those hands all over the church, all over the house of God. May God bless you, and may he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you and his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you. We love you. Hug two or three people and say thank God for the breakout. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Don't forget, ladies, come hang out with First Lady. If you want to greet me, I'll be down front. God bless you.